Thanks to your generous donations to our Kickstarter funding campaign, Clive Barker Podcast presents Fundraiser 3.
Hell on Earth.
All right, so here we are. This is audio commentary for Hellraiser Hellworld, which is the eighth Hellraiser movie.
Yeah.
Really starting to get into the hell of this.
I know. Yeah, but the good news is this is, after this one, we only have two more bad movies, and then we're getting into good movies.
Good.
Or at least, you know, either good or passable.
Yeah, that's when our Kickstarter changed from being a hell on earth to being, well, let's find out good movies that we can.
we'll have burned through them all. Except that probably by the time we get through everything, Hellraiser Judgment will come out.
Yeah. Maybe that one will be a good movie.
yeah. Right.
I really feel okay. Like a fool writing those articles up.
Nah. Well, you really don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be off topic, but I've read that iHorror interview that was published today, I think, where Doug Bradley. I don't know when people are going to be listening to this, so probably it's going to be old news when you're listening to this right now. But Doug Bradley was talking about why he wasn't in Hellraiser Judgment.
Yeah.
And I think if you find our blog and go look for Hellraiser Judgment, you'll probably find a lot of articles that were written by Rob about it. So that might help to understand the situation the franchise is in right now.
Yeah. We have this paused just before the word dimension comes up.
Yes.
So if everybody will kind of just get that synced up. And mm-hmm. then, Rob, you want to do the countdown?
Yeah, sure. Three.
Oh,
two.
Gotta get my...
Okay.
I lost my remote. Okay.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Unpause.
Here we go.
I'm so used to that metal striking sound, like.
They did it all the time. Their movies.
Yeah. Oh God! I'm watching this last night. I was reminded again how much I hate this. Yeah. So. This is never explained. Why does he dig a hole in this basement?
I think that the point is he's trying to dig it. He's digging his own grave. And a funny bit of trivia about this start opening scene is actually this was recorded outside during Romania's chilly night.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
they just built like a three-wall set, and they did this outside because they were going to do the burning scene where he sets fire to himself.
Oh. I thought, okay, so was that supposed to be indoors, but it was filmed outside?
Yeah, it was supposed to be him, like, digging a hole in his basement.
Oh. So he was digging his own grave?
Yeah, I guess so. The first mistake in this movie is trying to make logic of the story.
Yeah.
Just ride along with it.
Gotta go with the flow.
Yeah. I remember when I first saw this movie. Wow. What a disappointment it was.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, and what the interesting thing is that Rick Boda had a trilogy, right? I mean, he made three movies in a row. He had an opportunity to make a consecutive series of three movies that would have been a trilogy, especially these last two.
Sure.
And I don't know what it is, if just the producers wouldn't let him, you know, or maybe he's not a writer. But
I think you're probably right with when you say the first with your first comment up, they probably wouldn't let them.
Yeah,
that's good filmmaking.
I guess they just got lazy. They didn't have enough money. They didn't have enough time. They shot Hellraiser Deader and Hellworld back to back in Romania, and they shot once they finished shooting Hellraiser Deader. I think they had 1 week before they started shooting Hellraiser Hellworld.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's not nearly enough time to prepare.
And they never come out and say it, but this seems to be obviously meant to be set in the United States.
Yeah, but you see Romanian tags all throughout the movie when they're driving cars.
Yeah, their license plates are not... I know.
Nobody notices those.
Yeah.
Nobody notices. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like Ed Wood. Nobody's going to care about that. Yeah. Keep going.
So I got the feeling that this opening sequence with all these like religious statues reminded me a little bit of when Julia and Larry enter the old homestead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's a scene later on where the British girl, I forget her name, goes into that forbidden room.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that Jesus statue that she's making fun of its crotch or whatever.
Yeah, that is actress Anna Tolput. She already... From Kane's book, The Hellraiser Movies and Their Legacy, she actually auditioned for the part of Marla in Debtor and impressed Rick Boda, so they put her in this movie.
And it reminded me of the statue that kind of springs out and scares Kirstie.
Yeah.
So this character, the sullen kind of like I hate the rest of you guys, His character doesn't make any sense to me. Do you guys understand at all why he thinks that they're more to blame than he is for the friend's death, for Adam's death?
I didn't get it.
It's a little strange. It's like maybe he thought that they delved too deeply into the Hellraiser hell world kind of thing, and that made their friend like go over the edge of reality and kill himself because he believed that Pinhead was real and Hellworld was real. I thought that was what he was blaming them for.
Yeah, but we don't really get a good sense of why he was different or why he was better than the rest of them.
Yeah.
Hey, there's the Man of Steel himself.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill.
He is almost unrecognizable.
I know, he's so small.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he got huge.
Well, a funny thing that I was reading this Paul Kane book, The Hellraiser Films and Their Legacy, and he said something about Henry Cavill. One of the things I thought was really funny is with his dark, good looks, there was little wonder he only just missed out on playing Superman. And I'm like, well, not anymore, wow. Paul Kane.
Wow, that's a good catch.
Yeah, that is. Paul was ahead of his time.
Yeah, well, and it could be just the directing, but his acting in this movie is not great.
He's just playing the douchebag.
Yeah. But he
feels like the Friday 13th or Scream movie of Hellraisers.
Yeah. Yeah, Scream I can totally see. But he's almost like making faces at the camera a lot of the time. It's really strange.
Yeah. That's the level of his acting at the time. But he was not a beginner in any way. I mean, he had been in movies like The Count of Monte Cristo with Guy Pearce and Richard Harris. He appeared, I think, for the first time in a movie called Laguna, 2001. Mm. So he also appeared in British television and a movie called Goodbye, Mr. Chips from 2002. And okay. That's when they also shot this movie, I think, 2002.
Oh, there was a scene that we just passed by I was meant to comment on. So she's like, right. Oh, if only we could see his face again. And then they zoom in on that photograph of his face.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, well, now I'm good. Thanks. I can go.
Do you notice that he's still smoking?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He looks like Freddy.
Well, and this is another one of those corny things where it's not, it's a dream now and it's not real.
Yeah, and it starts off really quickly here.
So, but they seamlessly merged the funeral, which was really happening, with her stupid dream.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not, I don't know, not cool.
Once again, actually, dreams.
Yeah. Actually, so, funny bit of trivia about this actress. Winnick, Catherine Winnick, she knew, she was a black belt in karate, and she is a licensed bodyguard, which will come in handy near the end of the movie.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. In one scene, she does a... She pokes some guy, tries to put the moves on her, and she does some cuddle, puts him in his place.
And she kicks Lance Henriksen over the railing.
Yeah. Oh, here comes another fake-out moment. Not a real fake-out moment, but, you know.
It, it, when I was watching this last night to prepare, it fooled me into thinking, man, they did a terrible job on that Chatterer.
Yeah.
and then he took the mask off, like, oh, okay, well, whatever.
It's actually a pretty decent mask.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the killer from Inferno. Mm-hmm. That's what it kind of
reminds me. Oh, yes. Yeah, right.
You first see him.
The engineer. Yeah. Or was he? Yeah. No, he's not the engineer. He's just, he had that leather jacket, though.
He paid $100 for it on the internet.
Yeah.
Probably could get it cheaper now.
He does a lot of eye rolling and, like, I don't know.
I guess he's acting like the typical teenager, even though these guys were all in their 20s when they did this.
Well, and this is 2 years after the funeral, so now presumably they're adults and they have their own apartments and stuff, which is where she is.
Oh, another bit of trivia. Oh, look at that. The dare you enter hell.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool that they put the Doug's voice. I think Doug did some.
Yeah.
Voice.
He just read a bunch of lines.
Cool.
But
Leviathan House.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, that's one thing you can say about this movie. It's the only movie since Hellraiser 2 that actually mentions Leviathan. Although it's terrible.
Yeah, I know. The movie mentioned because it's better, sequels.
Yeah, because this thing is all, like, tongue-in-cheek. It's like, oh, the Hellraiser movies actually exist. So it's like, it was just weird. I mean, Gary Tunnicliffe said that he had made this, for the fans. But I just didn't think.
Or Rick Boda.
I thought this was more of a, like a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. Kind of making fun of the fans at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, the acting here must have been horrible for them to pretend like this was a good game.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care. If this was 2003, there is no... I mean, this looks like a game from, like, 91.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does.
And they're supposed to be getting excited about it. It's like an interactive CD-ROM when CD-ROM drives first came out, for computers.
Yeah. Well, how did they get the invites? I mean, is this part actually like real world? It is real world so far, right?
Yeah. I think that they somehow like cracked the code on this puzzle box on the game, and then they get a secret code, and then they somehow like they get their invitation in the mail? I don't know.
I guess so. But what's funny is also that Catherine Winnick just called Tolput to say, don't tell me you're going to this party. How did she know that she was doing that on the computer? That's talk about like convenient. Oh, here we go. So Catherine Winnick also played Ivana Trump for all you Trump supporters out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she played Ivana Trump in Trump Unauthorized.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yep. Also, that other guy who's there playing that game with the Anna Talbot, who plays
So I don't get it. Are they supposed to be boyfriend and girlfriend?
I guess they're just friends.
Yeah.
So here we go. Everybody's going to the party. More shots of streets with leaves blowing through it, just like on Deader.
Also, that car, I just noticed that car that they're in has a spare tire on the front.
Huh. That's weird.
Yeah. And there's the Romanian license plate.
It was really cold for them to shoot some of these scenes because I think it started in October, the shoot, and it went on for like 20 to 24 days, I think. Mm. So that it wasn't too... there wasn't a lot of preparation time for them. It was like 1 week to get things started. That, for example, I forgot the name of that guy. Derek, I think. I think it's Derek, who was put in this movie to save time and money because he had also been in another movie that they were shooting in Romania. And in that movie, he also lost his head by decapitation.
Oh,
so
geez.
That meant that they already had his head ready to use in this movie. Yeah.
Well, that makes a little more sense why that scene was even in this.
Yeah,
I know.
That's like the worst part of the movie for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of worst parts. I'm not sure.
I guess that one takes the cake. If you
will. Yeah, it's bad.
Because I can't see Pinhead ever doing that.
No. Well, and he's not even really Pinhead, apparently.
Here comes the Leviathan House. Hellraisers.
And now they have New York license plates. They were just driving with a Romanian license plate a little bit ago.
You're right.
Let's go raise some hell.
Oh, God. I know that what do you call that?
Did y'all hear go ahead.
Oh, what's that word? It's not condescending. I'm trying to think of the word where you're complimenting people, but it's really insulting. Yeah, it's patronizing. All this, hey, Hellraisers, let's go do some Hellraising.
Yeah, I like the giant box just twirling around there. It looks like it could actually be like a fun party for the real world.
Well, that giant box is probably the best thing in this whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, the bartender over there, gratuitous nudity.
Yeah.
The scriptwriter, Carl Dupre, he has a cameo in this movie as a bartender.
Oh, the guy that makes the shot for the one guy later on. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't know that was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, here's the guy we all hate.
Oh, here's the guy who's too good for Hellraiser, but, you know. Jake. Like, that's totally, like, they just paused, looked at him, made an insulting remark, and then she tries to be nice.
Yeah, I know. You'd think they were close enough that he could have heard all that.
Yeah.
And now they're all talking about him, too.
And this is the reason why I can't see Man of Steel or, again, there's a movie coming out right now. I don't know when you guys are going to be listening to this, but there's Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice with Henry Cavill. And every time I look at those trailers, all I can think about is his role on Hellworld.
I kind of liked Man of Steel, but I've been seeing your posting and some other people are posting really terrible reviews of the Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to watch it, but just because I'm getting a little tired of superhero movies. But you know, I'm sure it'll make a lot of money. I've heard that there's Lance Henriksen.
Yeah, making his grand entrance. The music just stops.
Yeah.
Welcome, Hellraisers.
Yeah. I think if they made a movie with the Toymaker, Lance would be a good Toymaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how he's got a whispery voice, and they were just in this super loud party, and then Lance comes out and whispers, and everybody can hear him.
Everybody stopped as well, you know.
Yeah.
This room is pretty cool. I mean, I like this room.
Yeah, this room is cool, but I think these people are really disrespectful. I mean, they're just grabbing things and playing with them and spraying perfume.
So it's like it's not only the fact that Hellraiser exists in the reality of the Hellraiser movie, but also Hellraiser is based on true things that people do collect and are like one of a kind.
Yeah.
Apparently. Like, that's what's confusing. Oh, there was a pinhead.
What if nobody touched that card? Or what if nobody sprayed the perfume in their face? Which, why would you spray perfume in your face?
Yeah. That picture of Le Marchand looks like Doc from Back to the Future.
Actually, that picture is based on a painting called Experiment with the Air Pump. And I guess, remind me after we're done this, I'll send you the picture. Oh, that's okay. The scientist in that painting. It's an old English painting.
Oh, really?
So they just used that and copied it and made him look like Le Marchand. So
I'm so used to seeing that painting that we always use, a lot of people use around, just for...
That's a perfume bottle. She's supposed to inhale it, right? So why would she spray it right into her face?
Yeah, you're not supposed to inhale it.
But for the plot, she's supposed to inhale it.
I guess a lot of people out there won't even know what that is meant to be used for. I mean, when was the last time you actually saw a crystal perfume bottle
with one
of those air little pumps?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen one of those.
Yeah, and then he says, knock yourselves out, which is like, wah, wah.
It's made of human skin, and she immediately puts it down. You know what? There used to be things that they did with the skin of, like, condemned men in England. Like, I read once there was a little book that someone made telling the crime of what a guy got sentenced to death for. So they would hang him, and then they would use his skin to build a book telling of his crime.
Oh, wow.
That's just creepy.
And that is.
So I wonder where did he get all these people for the party? This is a lot. This is a super elaborate way to get revenge on these five kids.
They're all Hellraiser, Hellworld fans, I guess.
What's up with the masks? I never got the.
Yeah, and only like a quarter of the people at the party actually are using them. Yeah.
I guess it was just meant to be like an anonymous hookup kind of thing with the phones.
But they all take their masks off and look at each other.
Mm. Look at this Sister Ursula.
Yeah.
That was a cool story. Holy pussy. That's Henry Cavill. That's Superman right there. That's what I think about when I see the Man of Steel.
Yeah. I liked the last that Superman movie that was before Man of Steel. Superman Returns. Yeah, I kind of liked that one, but
the one where Superman lifts up a whole continent made of kryptonite, and somehow he manages to fly with it.
Well, that's kind of his MO, is doing crazy crap like that.
Yeah, I guess. You remember like Superman with Richard Pryor?
Yes,
he plays a computer hacker, and then there's one point where he's flying, and the villains are trying to shoot at him, and there's a screen. It looks like a video game, and every time a missile hits Superman, it brings up 100 points on the screen. Oh, this is
I saw that at a drive-in when it first came out, and that's the last time I saw it. That's Superman 4, right?
Good heavens.
Or no, 3 was the one with Richard Pryor. 4 was the guy with Nuclear Man.
Yeah, Nuclear that was Man.
I used to have a Laserdisc of Superman 3.
You know, this is cool. Like, this whole room is cool. In terms of, like, set design and the sets they got for this movie, I thought they really had every good element there to make a good Hellraiser.
Yeah, it's the story and the acting is... And the story and the characters are horrible.
Yeah. From this whole group, Derek is one of my favorite guys. I think he's the best actor of the group.
His character is still annoying, too. He just...
Yeah, it's just a stereotypical, you know... I hate that they kind of make him a stereotypical, you know, kind of black guy.
Mm.
I don't like that.
Look at that. So, yeah, Hook. You know that Hook is going to be used to murder someone.
Oh, I know. They focus on it so much.
Yep. Leviathan House, which doesn't make any sense. Why would they call the house Leviathan House? They never really explained.
No.
They could call it Hellraiser House or Le Marchand House, I guess. That's just wrong. I honestly...
A lot of them have aliens when the facehugger.
Yeah,
on Alien 4, Resurrection.
Yeah. The worst one.
I thought it was okay. And so at this point, they're all falling under the spell of the drug that they got pulverized
with. Not all of them. Those two aren't yet.
Exactly.
She's about to get it, though, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I remember there's...
Yeah. But he wouldn't drink, and he wouldn't touch anything, and he's like doesn't even really want to be there.
What I think is funny is that this guy is trying to convince Catherine Winnick that he came to the party with a friend, when he obviously did not come with a friend at all.
Yeah.
Otherwise, where's your friend, dude?
Well, it comes out later that it was somebody he met online that was supposed to meet him there.
Yeah.
And then you find out after that that it was really just Lance Henriksen pretending to be a woman to lure him there.
It's like he didn't get Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Hansen.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, this is one of the last movies that was done in terms of a franchise that still got fans, I guess. I mean, there's fans for Revelations, but...
Yeah. Can we talk about that... That they pronounce Le Marchand's name like three different ways in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's Lamont, and she just said Lamar Shaw.
The Lamont configuration.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's at the beginning.
Oh, and we saw a foreshadowing shot there. When she briefly wakes up in the Nikon. And so.
Yeah.
This originally came from a story that was written by Joël Soissons, who also worked on... I think he also worked on Debtor or something, or Hellseeker, I forgot. But the story that he originally created was called Dark Can't Breathe. So, Dark Can't Breathe. So he wrote a treatment, and then I guess that's the story that was changed into a Hellraiser movie.
What a terrible thing to do.
Yeah, I know. Why don't you just make Dark Can't Breathe?
It doesn't... I guess it's kind of like, well, we already paid for this script, and we're never going to make it into a movie, so do a Hellraiser movie out of it. But it just seems to me that probably whoever they hire for the director would likely do a script for free, because they're excited about making a Hellraiser movie. And then instead we get this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they got paid handsomely to make these scripts.
Yeah. Much
as I love watching old movies. Old Nokias. Those things probably still work today.
Yeah.
The 3110 or something. Oh, Jake. Also, I have no idea how that thing works. Like, you dial 4 digits and you call someone.
Yeah, and then the caller ID says the name of the person if it's one of their friends.
Yeah, that was just stupid.
Yeah.
Well, that falls into the other sort of reality that is not
right. Right, that's true.
This movie has layers upon layers.
Except that the one guy with the computer date or whatever, he's still awake.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah. He hasn't even been poisoned yet or drugged.
Good point.
He doesn't get poisoned until like 3/4 of the way through the movie when the box shoves those nails through his thumb.
Yeah, the invitation box.
Yeah.
One thing about this party is that yeah, I mean, really, what's the point of the masks, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No point, I mean. What's the numbers about? 4802?
That's what they would dial on their phones to call the person
wearing that
mask.
That, then. Oh, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha.
They would dial the 4 pin, yeah. And they would call the person wearing that mask.
Yeah.
I've been to a party where there was, like, not a mask, but you could put a lanyard around your chest and be like, hey, if I'm too drunk to go home, here's my address and here's my phone number.
Yeah.
And it was more meant like a joke. So if you're in a party and you see someone, you look at their number and then you text them.
Mm.
But not many people would actually do that because it's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're interested in someone, you'll just walk over to them and say, hey, how are you doing? Can I buy you a drink? I guess it was just a fun joke. So, yeah.
So here's where we kind of find out that it's... Or a little later we find out it's kind of his fault that all of this happens. But he becomes one of the heroes of the movie.
Hmm.
It's because of his description of Hellworld and everything that happened to Adam, to the person that was supposed to be his date but ended up being Lance Henriksen, that we find, you know, that made Lance angry and want to get revenge on all these people.
God damn, y'all fine.
I know.
Yeah,
stereotypical. So here's where, yeah, he sees her name on the caller ID.
I'm not Mr. Right, but I'm Mr. Right now.
It says, like, Allison on it.
At this point, I guess we can imagine that everything turns out to be fake, you know?
Yeah. Yep. But if you think about...
Terrible job of, like, not even, you know, trying to, like... I mean, this movie... has caverns of plot holes.
Yeah, oh yeah. If you try to imagine the reality of what's happening right now, like, where is he? Is he still at the party? At what point is he being buried alive?
That's... Yeah.
Writer? Is that the writer, the bartenders that you were mentioning earlier?
Oh.
I missed that.
There's one part where the jerky guy is trying to get the bartender's attention and he's ignoring him. Is that the same guy?
Yeah, I think it's further down in the movie when the other character, Jake, is trying to get a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not Carl Dupre.
Okay.
No. He's dead. Move on. That's nice. Superman.
Who's he talking to? There's a whole bunch of stuff like that where he's like, yeah, he's like making faces at the camera and rolling his eyes. And
here's a scene with that girl.
Yeah.
The guy that plays.
Yeah.
For no reason, I don't understand the point of this scene. I guess it shows that she's tough, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're setting her up to be the one that survives because this is such a stereotypical horror movie.
She did do Taekwondo and second black belt in karate, so they were like, "Let's use it."
Yeah,
I found out reading Paul Kane's book that that Rick Boda didn't really speak English, so he relied on translators on the set. So that might explain that. You know, I don't know who was responsible for the. Actor direction, but
yeah, right. He's the director. What the heck?
Yeah. That
I know.
That's interesting because on that Scarlet Box, he speaks perfect English.
Oh well, this was done in 2002, like 14 years
maybe
ago.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting that. You know, those interviews were done long ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen the. That'd be interesting to see the ones in the Scarlet Box.
Well, the movies were done long ago. The interviews are probably much, much more recent.
So that reminds me of that one that jumped out and scared. Was it Kirsty or Julia? I can't remember.
What?
Kirsty or Julia? What?
In Hellraiser, that religious statue that sort of pops out and scares. I think it's Kirsty. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Kirsty.
Yeah. So the idea that she would want to sit down in this chair is kind of hokey, except that. We know in reality, I guess she's sitting. She's in a coffin, and he's whispering to her cell phone what's happening to her.
Yeah, he was giving them suggestions through the phone.
Yeah,
that was inside the coffin. I'm guessing that people who are listening to the commentary have seen the movie already, so that they know what we're referring to. So if you haven't, then go.
Yeah,
watch
this the movie would.
First.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to listen to us talk about it in your first. Right, I mean, although it's such a terrible movie, I don't see why it matters either way.
It's an interesting device, although I'm not sure how that would work.
Lance. Saying that it's the most efficient way to bleed somebody, it's like really.
Yeah, I've seen animals being bled, so I think I know a little bit that is a little too sophisticated, and also weird because those things would slice into your neck, not across your neck.
Yeah.
This whole thing kind of reminds me of the movie Saw.
Yeah,
like you know, she's
He
takes the thing out and she's like having to figure how to, you know, I guess he's wanting her to try to put the pin back in. He gives her a chance.
Yeah. No. Yeah, he puts it in her hand, which doesn't help because her hand's clamped down.
Came out before Saw, right?
Oh, yeah.
That looks totally like she could pull her hand through there, though.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it'd be difficult at all.
Yeah.
But again, it's not. She's not really sitting in that chair.
No.
So there's really nothing she could do.
Yeah. Well, in reality, we find out that she clawed her own neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She would have been an interesting Marla.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
She would have been an interesting Marla, I guess. You know, there used to be a bunch of, like, raves in the Netherlands. There used to be like a party, a bunch of party raves called the Hellraiser, I think. And they would have people dress up as Pinhead on stage, DJing, and then they would have like a giant box just spinning around. I wonder if they got that box from that or if it was purposefully for this.
So do you think with all this Pinhead showing up and saying Adam was right and do you believe Adam now, is he trying to say that Cenobites are real?
I think this is all part of the hallucination at this point.
Yeah.
That the Cenobites only appear after the box is opened by the host at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, it's just that these kids are so obsessed about Hellraiser, Hellworld,
yeah,
that, you know, maybe the host is feeding them that suggestion that, oh, you guys are being chased by the Cenobites and you're all going to die.
And there's no cuts in her. There's just blood all over her.
Over her neck, yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of...
Not that I really care that much, but...
It's really weird, though, the fact that they all separate in the party, because when you go to a party with friends, you just want to hang around with your friends.
Yeah.
I guess I understand why, for example, this actress got separated from the other guy because he was being kind of a dick.
Yeah.
It's fine. The other girl walked into a room, you know, and the door locked. So, okay. But it's like, why don't... I guess they just couldn't stick together because, again, they're not really...
They're not together. Really here. Yeah. Yeah. They're in
But it's
their
hard
boxes.
To imagine when was the point when the host... After he drugged them, took them outside, buried them into boxes, and...
Well, and there are points in the movie where they're talking to each other. So, what's happening in reality when they're talking to each other? Does he have them on a party line?
Yeah, I guess. Like I said, it's like just... This whole story is messed up, and
yeah,
there's no way that you can make sense of it. It's
no.
Just shut down your brain.
Yeah.
Which is the last thing you want to do in a Hellraiser movie, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. It's not cool.
Hellraiser was kind of born off, you know, Clive Barker's imagination, which thinks and is.
Yeah.
So,
you want to be intellectually stimulated by a Hellraiser movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is kind of also, I guess this is the last Hellraiser movie of that era, right? Because I think after that, you get into the... I mean, we're starting this new era of these sub-million-dollar Hellraiser movies, which are a whole other order of magnitude terrible.
That's true.
It's crazy seeing these old, like, computers and stuff now. I mean, the
printers.
It looks
printers. Outdated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and in 2000... this was 2003 when it was filmed, right? But it came out in 2005.
2002. Yeah.
Oh, on the credits it says 2003, but then it actually was released in 2005.
Yeah. No, but it was shot in...
2002.
October 2002, I think. And again, I addressed in the last commentary track for Deader, the reason why that happened, that it took almost 3 years for the movies to come out, and then they were dumped in the same year, like... One of them was like in the first trimester or something. I forgot the exact month. And then the other one was later in the year, a few months afterwards. And I remember thinking at the time, you know, some Hellraiser fans were happy. It's like, oh, we're going to get two Hellraiser movies in a year. And I was like, no, this is not a good sign. This is not really a good sign.
Yeah.
And the invitation box.
Yeah.
I remember seeing props like this pop up on eBay for a long time after this movie came out. Just these, like, green or brass-looking solid resin boxes.
Yeah. How much were they going for? Pretty decent price or cheap?
Yeah, they were kind of cheaper. They were, like, $60, $70, I guess.
She gets stabbed in the arm and he gets stabbed through the thumb, but they never really go back to those, you know, like, that would hurt.
Mm.
What's up with the shots? Like, you know, it's like they're looking through like a tunnel and you see their face. I can't remember what that's.
They're in the coffins.
I'll be honest. I didn't finish the movie last night.
Yeah, so they have breathing tubes coming up out of the coffin so they don't suffocate.
Oh,
too
okay.
quickly. Yeah.
I didn't make it all the way through this one, I'll be honest.
Hellraisers know how to party. Oh, and there was one line that when they were first coming in that I thought was funny that we kind of passed up, but where Derek says, oh, this is going to... Or no, not Derek. It's the girl, the British girl. Mm-hmm. She says, this is going to kick A. It's like, why are they going out of their way to avoid saying ass?
Right. Well, especially since Catherine Winnick calls Henry Cavill asshole
yeah,
a little bit afterwards.
This is going to kick A.
So here we are. Superman is about to get a lot of attention from a party girl.
Yeah.
I think at this point, he's poisoned because he touched the pinhead card, right?
Right, yeah. It sucked into his thumb.
Yeah, it was like contact poison.
Yeah. So this, he's really sitting in a coffin somewhere, and Lance Henriksen is explaining all of this, pointlessly explaining all of this to him, like what's happening with this girl. Why yes. would he do that?
Or he's imagining it on his own, like in a kind of like a dreamlike state.
Yeah, he thinks he's still in the party, I guess.
Mm-hmm. When Lance Henriksen's being seen digging outside by the characters, is that just from their perspective, or is that really like that life?
Good point. Yeah.
I think it's just meant. Oh, here's Carl Dupre.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
The writer. I think it's the way for them to tell the audience something weird is going on. And
yeah.
They show those shots where they're looking through. They wake up screaming in like a coffin, yeah. and then it goes back to the same reality that they're dreaming. And it's just this kind of ham-fisted way of like foreshadowing what's going on at the end of the movie.
Anyone see this? Like, why would he? Of course they could see it.
Well, in the movie, and of course that didn't happen because of the budget, but he was supposed to like start flipping people around who were turning their backs on them, and they would turn around and he would still be looking at their back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they could just pull that off because I guess they didn't have the funds to do that
digital. Oh, you could do that with camera tricks. What's going on here? That wouldn't be that hard.
Quick editing, I guess.
Yeah. There's a lot of pointless wandering around and... Hello? Oh, there was something else that was bugging me. People looking at things and getting excited and saying, that's what I'm talking about. Mm. I hate when people say that, and they say that like 10 times in this movie.
Hello? Well, you know, you got to stretch out the story as much as you can.
That's how I would feel pretty much at a party.
Yeah. I hate parties.
It's like, oh no, I found the headquarters of the debtor's train.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Those were probably, I wonder if those were corpses from debtor.
They looked like the same makeups in a way.
Yeah.
Well, if they hired that guy to play Derek just because he lost his head in another movie and they just could use the same prop on this movie, I wouldnldn't put it past them to reuse props from other movies at all.
They got Gary Tunnicliffe providing the effects, and it's easier to use. You said this guy's head showed up in another Dimension movie, so...
Yeah.
You know, it's just an easier way to save money. I'm sure we might see some of these things show up in Judgment.
Yeah. It seems like it's just in poor taste to I don't know. I don't like this whole asthma subplot.
It kind of reminds me out of that... I'm sure y'all have seen Freddy's Dead. Remember that guy had that ear problem?
Yeah.
In that sequel? And this kind of reminds me of that. And I'm like, where are you going with this?
Yeah.
He had the ear hearing aid thing, and then...
Freddy was scratching the chalkboard.
Yeah, and then he dropped a bunch of pins, and that thing was cranked up to, like, infinity. And so when the pin hits the floor, his head just explodes.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. This kind of bugs me. It just seems like it's in poor taste.
Also, the fact that he's in the middle of an asthma attack, he can't hardly breathe, but he still manages to go down a bunch of stairs.
Yeah, and he yells, "No!"
Oh, and here's my
God. Yeah, there he was looking at the camera and smiling, like, "Hey, look what's going on with me right now."
Jameson Goey, who's been. Doing special effects for Hellraiser for the past two movies, did that animation with the mask that we're going to see.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He reminds me of, like, when I was watching, he reminds me of the offspring of J.P. Monroe.
Yeah. That's exactly like that. Who he reminds me of.
It's like a young J.P. before he was J.P.
Before he owned the club.
Yeah.
And there was also a contest that for the scariest man in Britain, I think, and this guy David Robinson won, and he became one of the actors playing one of the cops in the Hellworld movie at the final scenes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have we seen Pinhead in this movie? I mean, in this one, really,
he just shows up to tease people.
We don't see any other Cenobites. I have not seen any others.
Oh yeah, Bound shows up in here too.
Yeah, Bound, and then
Chatterer.
There's Chatterer and Bound. So basically, it's just pretty much Pinhead, Chatterer, and Bound Cenobites.
We just see Pinhead in this scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chatterer was being played by Mike Regan of 2 Hours in the Dark, and I think the Bound Cenobite was being played by Gary J. Tunnicliffe himself.
Yeah.
So this was kind of funny. He was shaking that grate, and you could see it was coming loose. So then he had to stop and take the screw off. And that's out so far, you could just do it with your fingers, but whatever.
By the way, Carl Dupre appeared as a barman to emulate the appearance of Peter Atkins in Hell on Earth as Rick the bartender.
Oh, cool. Cool. Oh, I like that. At least they did a nice little nod to Peter.
Yeah. And here's the worst scene in this movie for me.
Yeah.
It is.
The worst scene with Pinhead ever.
Ever, yeah.
It's just so bad.
They really drag this out.
They do.
Well, this whole movie is dragged out.
Yeah.
If they showed what was really going on with him talking to people through cell phones and telling them what, I don't know, it would be so boring. And right now it just is annoying and
I mean, none of this feels like a Hellraiser movie. I just don't feel like I'm watching a Hellraiser movie at all.
No, this is kind of more of a Jason Voorhees move. And yeah. Also, that knife that he's got there doesn't look big enough to chop his head off.
That's like a cudgel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this part where he touches the... what do you call the blade edge? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Ah! Slash.
They should have... It's so awkward him doing that. I wonder what Doug thought of that.
Yeah, and the way they did the camera angle looks like he's like right straight on, and he should be off to the side.
After this, I mean, Doug Bradley never made it back to playing Pinhead, and he himself said in that interview with iHorror that I mentioned in the beginning that it's been like 13 years since he played Pinhead. And,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, that's how things ended up.
Yeah.
I think it just would have been cool if they came up with like a Hellraiser device that, you know, would have cut his head off. I don't mind that his head's cut off. I mean,
yeah.
Come up with like something like, you know, in Hellraiser Bloodline when Paul Merchant gets his head. That was a cool device.
It's amazing the difference in quality between this movie and Deader. Deader had a lot of nonsense in it, but at least it was, you know, visually it was more interesting and the characters were more interesting.
I agree with what you were saying, Rob, about just have some chains or some sort of mechanism that would be more like in according with the Cenobites.
It would still fit into this story they're trying.
Yeah, well, and seeing Pinhead like grimacing and swinging a meat cleaver, it's kind of like.
And again, maybe it's done in a way that suggests that this isn't really Pinhead doing this, because when you see this, it's so out of character. It could be put there for that reason. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Well, and the reality is he just died from suffocating because of his asthma.
Yeah. Cool looking house, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if it is a house and not just a set. I know that they shot these things on different locations.
They also focused on that chandelier being over his head a lot in this movie, but they never paid it off by making it fall on him, which is what I kept thinking was going to happen.
Yeah.
And this is a weird subplot with the nun.
I guess it's because each of the Hellraisers would fall prey to... his obsession about the party.
Yeah. So
that's probably why the douchebag gets the loose girl who's like doing that in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And that, you know, Derek gets the hot black girl who's dancing, and he turns into like an Usher music video.
Yeah.
This guy had a crush for Sister Ursula, so I guess that's what he's getting.
Yeah.
Oh, just feels tacky and just put in there. Just it's not.
All of these Hellraiser movies, starting with 5, feel like they have a lot of filler material that's made up of people's dreams. Or
it's like the nudity aspect of the Hellraiser movies was not just to be put in there. I mean, it actually felt it fit with the themes of the story. I mean, these just feel like just exploitation crap, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Hellraiser fans, we're just going to throw in a little bit of nudity, some sex scenes. That's what make horror sell.
Well, and he even says gratuitous tit shot in this.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't say that.
Yeah. And then they goes, no, that's totally necessary.
Yeah, they go a little meta on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, he's kind of half freezing his ass off inside a coffin outside, drugged and suffering terribly, but he's still
able to think about a hot naked chick. Yeah.
So again, this was totally a set. And I guess you could see that it was a set outside because that steam just keeps blowing past the character. And it seems like the wind is blowing it, you know, so. Yeah, like right here. You see this is mist.
So why does Adam kill himself?
The best question is, why is digging a hole open up the box?
Yeah.
He didn't even touch it this time.
Yeah. Well, in Deader, she just threw it on the ground and it opened the box.
Well, she opened it in the hotel room, although that may or may not have actually happened.
Yeah.
This is the first movie I don't think anybody opens the box with their hands.
That's true.
Right, right.
Well, also, Lance does at the end.
Yeah, also Doug said that when he was shooting exterior scenes, it felt like his head was stuck inside an ice box.
Oh. Wow.
Because he had the makeup on, and I'm guessing the makeup
froze.
Got cold. Yeah.
It's weird. She could have just thrown something through that window. Oh, I guess I'm thinking about later on when she says she's trapped in
the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I kind of lost a little track here, but Chelsea, why has she been walking around empty parts of the house for so long? Why isn't she?
Yeah, I know.
What is she doing, like, in parts of the house where nobody else is, you know? Yeah. At least her friend got locked inside a room.
Yeah.
Welcome to hell.
Well, and so he drugged these people all in front of the rest of the party and presumably dragged them out the front door into the yard where he's putting them in a coffin and with a house full of party guests.
Yeah.
I mean, when you put it in perspective like that, Rob, it's like, this is so freaking bad. I'm embarrassed.
Did you guys notice when she was calling 911, she gave the address of the house? It was 86 Hillbound Drive.
Yeah.
86 from when the movie came out, Hellraiser. Hillbound as in hellbound.
I thought she said hellbound. Did she say hillbound?
Well, I got subtitles on, so in the subtitles it says hillbound.
Oh. Because I heard hellbound.
It might have been that. I mean, just like the Lamont configuration.
Yeah. So which one of those cops is the guy that won the contest?
The guy with the glasses.
Oh, okay.
That's him. There's a picture of him standing next to
him. So this is real world time now?
Yeah, but you know what's really weird is that apparently Chelsea managed to call 911 from inside the coffin on a phone that probably wouldn't even have network over there. And that's really weird because she's calling from her dreams into real life.
And those cell phones are kind of like intercoms, right? They don't really call out.
Mm-hmm. She's beating on her coffin. Is that what she's doing?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's right.
Oh, if this makes your brain hurt, just wait until they start actually investigating stuff that's inside the house without actually being in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They discover things and they figure it out. Why or how?
I guess you could argue that the host is feeding them like some tips, but that wouldn't make any sense either.
Well, he maybe wants them to know why.
This movie does have a feeling, makes me feel like I'm watching one of those Dimension movies, but from the 90s, like one of those Halloween sequels or something. Mm. Everything is bathed in blue light.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah, a lot of those, you're right, Halloween sequels kind of had that kind of lighting.
Like Halloween
especially Halloween Curse of Michael Myers, yeah.
Yeah, the sixth one, yeah. Oh, great. I'm glad you feel the same way because that's the movie that came up in my mind when I was.
Yeah.
I've only seen the first three.
I think you're doing good, but I would watch number four as well.
Mm.
Number four is good.
Not a heck with it. Just watch them all except part eight. I mean, if you just want to have one, or the Rob Zombie. Skip the Rob Zombie.
Oh, I have seen those.
Okay.
Hey, baby, you owe me one. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah, I know.
It's your turn. And
yeah, right look there. At the camera and do that, whatever.
Yeah. All right, another, like, makeout session because this movie hasn't had enough makeup.
Yeah.
She looks like the same girl who tells Thorne, anything you want as many times as you want it.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if she just dressed up differently.
She's actually pretty cute, Catherine Winnick. I don't think I've seen her in anything else, and I definitely have not seen the Trump biopic that she was in. So.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Dor.
So David Robinson was from Cheshire, England. He won a competition to find Britain's scariest person. And the prize was a walk-on in a horror movie, and he was thrilled when it was eventually arranged to be a Hellraiser movie. So I guess either they paid for his ticket to go to Romania or he had to go there on his own. Yeah. Talk about
He probably had to pay for it himself.
Yeah. And the other uniformed cop, the one who was talking to Chelsea, his name is Victor McGuire, and he had starred for many years as Jack Boswell in the sitcom Bread from the 80s onwards. So apparently he was a familiar face for British audiences.
She likes breaking jars.
Yeah.
She is not the same one who plays Sister Ursa.
Yeah, maybe she turned into her. She would like turn into like a Cenobite or something, like the female Cenobite or a Stitch sister Cenobite or something like that.
Like in that Hellseeker part where like that one Stitch. I think.
Party goers were turned into a Cenobite. Hey, what are you doing?
Don't leave me in here. Oh, yeah, and Gary Tunnicliffe also does a cameo in this movie. I'll be sure to point that out.
Besides just Bound?
Yeah.
Does he play a cop? He was a...
Yes.
I don't know if y'all know this. He plays a cop in a Howling Resurrection that
actually,
George Strode killed.
It's not a cop. He's a guy with a notepad in his hand standing next to a police car. A character that he says is the reporter from Deader who talks to Amy at the start.
Oh, wow. He's the same reporter?
They're trying to connect the two there.
Hey, maybe the newspaper guy instead of sending that last reporter, sent that dude.
Yeah.
Hey, you go check out the debtors.
Yeah.
I'm here in Bucharest, Romania.
Yep, you're my least favorite reporter. Just props.
And he also, Gary Tunnicliffe, also played the second unit. Again, Gary Tunnicliffe desperately wanting to direct a Hellraiser movie.
That's right, he did.
He wrote the ninth one, Revelations. And he wanted to direct that.
Yeah.
I can't believe at that point he hasn't realized this guy doesn't have a head anymore.
Well, and also, if it was Derek's bad dream that he got decapitated by Pinhead, why does he know about it?
Okay, so you look at a corpse that doesn't have a head. Why are you going to open up his shirt?
Yeah.
I think that not having head is enough to, like, freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
He only started gagging when he noticed that the, you know, I guess the bowels.
Yeah. How, let's see how much time they're going to focus on this hook back
yeah,
there. Yeah,
and I guess
he even turns around and looks at it for a while.
I guess it's part of the horror movie unwritten laws that if there's a hook in a room, it has to be swaying.
Yeah.
Even if nobody's around to make it move.
Well, it's in an action movie, if there's a spike on a wall, they have to focus on it for a second before somebody gets kicked into it.
Oh, there's the banded Cenobite or bound Cenobite.
Yeah.
And the same is with, like, an interrogation scene. If there's a hanging, like, chandelier, that chandelier has to be, like, swinging as well.
He should have known to get out of the way of that.
Instead, he just says, not good.
Yeah.
Fly, Superman, fly! That hook must be made of kryptonite.
Yeah.
It's a cool scene.
You like the Cenobite?
I like the Cenobite.
Yeah, I do too.
But the reality is he's just getting scared to death in his coffin.
Yeah, yeah. When you picture that, it kind of it loses something.
Yeah.
And then Pinhead appears after this guy is dead to say something, God knows to whom. So he's still hallucinating that he's dead now. Yeah.
Like, this is just the beginning.
When you're doing movies like this,
yeah,
you end up asking these questions.
Yeah.
You know, that.
Again, the problem is asking questions because we're taking the movie kind of seriously. And we're trying to understand a movie that it's not meant to be understood.
Because of this podcast, I've seen this movie 5 times now.
This will only be like 2.5 because I watched
half. Oh, here we go. Here's the line that defines this movie coming up.
Like a bad horror movie, isn't it?
Yeah. They should have put that on the poster.
God, Lance Henriksen. He's the only thing good about this movie, but it's still like little comfort.
Yeah.
Well, even he's barely in it. I mean, really? Just
That's true.
Maybe 10 minutes. Of the,
yeah. You
know, you're stuck with these characters that you don't
care
about.
He's the star power.
And she went off running in the woods like that. It reminded me of a Friday 13th movie.
So this is a weird sort of moment to move the plot forward where this guy all on his own figures out what happened to everybody.
And he's going to see a picture of Adam with his dad. So he's going to discover the host is the dad. But, you know, like we were pointing out a while ago, it's like there's no way that they could have figured that out without actually picking up a physical picture.
Yeah.
You know, unless the host is telling them that he's Adam's dad. But,
like talking to him, yeah.
Yeah. Swoosh. Very, very strange. I mean, he was a very talented player of the Hellworld game, but it's like we never really understand what was the Hellworld game. Not that thing that they did in the computer, because that only took them like 15 seconds to play.
I think that's it. Yeah, I think that was supposed to be. We're supposed to believe that that's the game.
Maybe it's supposed to be one of those ARG games that, you know, some movies come up with, like 10 Cloverfield Lane. They had a alternate reality game where people see the trailer and then they go to the website and they discover there's like a code line at the bottom of the website, and then they're going to...
Have you seen that movie? I heard it was really good.
No, I haven't.
I heard it was really good, too.
This is Unit 12. I'm at the old... Yeah, so did he throw that?
Yeah, it looks like it, right? Like a spear or something?
Yeah.
He doesn't fit in the surroundings either. Woods. That's why I had a problem with part three. Mm-hmm. That too.
I think Pinhead doesn't belong outdoors.
Yeah. The last time I saw him outdoors was in Hellraiser 3, and his makeup in the daylight doesn't really look good.
Yeah.
It's Frank Black from Millennium investigating another murder.
Yeah.
Y'all watch that Millennium?
No.
TV show? Yeah, I watched it. It was really good.
It was so cool, man. I think the first episode has to do with someone being buried alive with the lips sewn together.
Oh, wow.
So that's another thing that I thought was...
Yeah, there's that shot of the chandelier. They keep on focusing on it like it's going to fall on somebody. No, I haven't seen Millennium. I should check it out. I wonder if it's on Amazon Prime.
Chelsea! It is.
Any movie that has, like, an episode with a microwave big enough to cook a human is worth watching.
Yeah.
Chelsea? I think they only did, like, 2 seasons of Millennium, though.
Hmm.
Yeah, sadly. I thought it should have continued.
The last movie I saw with Lance Henriksen was actually a movie that was crowdfunded. It was called
Harbinger Down.
Harbinger Down, exactly. Thank you. Yeah.
I saw that. Did you ever watch it?
I watched it.
I enjoyed it for what it was, you know?
Yeah. It was like a Thing movie that couldn't be called a Thing. But that's pretty much what it was. Yeah.
Huh.
It's not a nice 50s kind of throwback. Like this slime, you know, slimy special effects films, because they worked with mostly practical effects.
The way they did that weird camera angle with her up against the wall kind of made it look like she was laying on the floor for some of the shots.
Chatter 3.
Is that what he's called?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be showing up in Judgment, I think.
It's the face of Torso, but with a little more makeup on, and then the body of Pinhead. What actually the torso of Pinhead, and then biker pants. Because I remember seeing for sale on the prop store of London the outfit for this, and they were just biker pants with zipped up pockets and biker boots.
Yeah, I don't like the costume so much.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the face doesn't look as good as in Hellraiser 1 either.
They couldn't afford to make different looking suits for every Cenobite. So that's when they just started recycling. You know, they would just mold Pinhead's chest and they would paint it black. They would just put it all over all the Cenobites. Just like Bound Cenobite has the same torso as Pinhead.
Oh, that stinks. Come on, Chelsea, let's raise some hell. Is there a suitcase in there?
There's going to be a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Have you noticed how many birds that show up in these sequels now?
Yeah.
Like, Deader. I mean, Deader had a bunch of birds.
Yeah, so those are pigeons.
So they did say at one point, Lance Henriksen mentions that this house, Leviathan House, was the second greatest architectural achievement after the Lament configuration. Not sure if a box counts as architecture, but okay.
After the he says the what did he call it? The Lamont configuration?
Yeah, I think you. It might have been like a mispronunciation of the Lament configuration. That's a good question. Why?
Yeah.
This whole movie just begs that question.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is this meant to be the same basement where... I guess not. It's not the same basement where Jake killed himself.
What was it? What was the line she just said there? It looked to be like some little snarky little...
She goes, come to the party. Come to the party. Oh, like, your friends are dead, lady.
Oh, yeah, this is another one of those moments that it's like he's right behind me, isn't he?
Yeah. Is this sharp? I don't know. Is it sharp? Maybe. I'm going to keep poking my hand with it until I figure it out.
They should have put some more KY jelly on the chatter's face. It looks too...
It does. Like it does look too much like a mask. And in fact... It's almost identical to the mask that Henry Cavill was wearing that was supposed to be fake.
Yeah, I know.
At the beginning of the movie.
It is, because, I mean, that is obviously probably the same mask.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Should have, yeah. You know, definitely.
So in this scene, when now that they're together, is he got them on a party line together? No, wait, because she's not, it's not really her.
Let's say
yes. Yeah, because she calls him later. She calls him in a few minutes here.
Maybe he had, like, an obsession with Chelsea, and that's why he's putting her into his own, like, dream sequence.
We still have, like, 20 minutes of this movie to go through.
And it feels like it should be ending.
Yeah, no, man.
It does.
Feels like it should be over. And I'm like,
yeah.
We still got 20 minutes.
Yeah. And the caller ID says like, Chelsea on it.
Let's give three different shots of the monitor of the phone saying it's Chelsea because...
Well, maybe not everybody was paying attention. Or maybe people turned the movie off.
What is going on? Who the fuck is this? Whoa, Jake, calm down. It's just me, Chelsea. What happened?
Pigeon, I remember, didn't Pinhead hold a
pigeon? It looks just like it was. Yeah, it looks just like the dove in Bloodlines, doesn't it? Sitting in the blue light.
Yeah, I like that moment when in Bloodline we'd sit there.
Yeah,
there's a few stroking. There's a few elements from Hellraiser that have to be in every single movie. Like when the Cenobites come, the walls have to crack and there has to be light coming out of like the old plaster walls.
Yeah,
even like if the walls weren't plastered to begin with.
Yeah.
Like in Hellseeker, those walls seem to be cinder block walls, but that doesn't stop them from cracking and showing the little boards behind them.
Yeah.
It's kind of forced.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is supposed to be an attic, right? Upstairs attic.
Yeah.
So from himself or from Hellworld?
Yeah.
We knew what Hellworld was doing to Adam, but we kept on playing it.
This is hell. Actually, some people have gone pretty nuts about certain games. Wasn't there like a guy who was playing maybe...
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft. He didn't eat or drink anything for like 2 or 3 days and then sleep and he died.
And also some guy had a sword that he wanted to sell and then the other guy just took his sword in the game and didn't pay him. And then he went over to the guy's house and killed him.
Hmm.
I didn't know that one. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I think it was like in Japan or something.
Yeah, but they don't make a good case for why this Hell World game would be so great, because it looks like just a bunch of stupid pictures and quotes.
Right. They never even show us what the game was like, because...
Yeah. I think that stupid spinning puzzle box was the whole game.
They could have said something more like... I can't believe that that's the only thing. I think it might have been like... I don't know. Some sort of alternate reality game.
Well, they said something like they called the engineer like the wall runner or something too.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, they were talking about, oh, look out, the wall runner's going to get you or something. But they didn't show the game. They just showed the people playing it.
There was that game that was never made, Virtual Hell.
Yeah.
I remember those stills from that. Look, I remember seeing it.
I'm sure that would have been... They should have used that. That would have been better than what they did.
The game never got finished, I guess.
Well, but they... Yeah, they could have just put pictures on the screen.
What they could have done cool with the idea. Something really cool if you... Because I don't even think the title fits with this movie. Is to have them fall into like some kind of virtual reality where it's like they're going through a Leviathan and they,
That's the way it was advertised. I remember thinking, I believed that that's what the movie was going to be like when I rented it.
Like you were going to be in the labyrinth.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing them that, I could see, at least enjoying it on that level, at least you're seeing Cenobites and all these things from the Hellraiser movies.
Yeah.
They're using a concept.
Well, and after The Matrix and Dark City, there was a whole big thing about, not knowing what's real and what's virtual and...
What were you going to say, Rob? Sorry.
No, I was just saying like about how this the title of the movie really doesn't. It really does not even use its title appropriately. Should have been more about these characters in some kind of a game world.
Yeah.
Yeah,
feel like that, but instead it's just at a party. And
it kind of makes you wonder if they meant to make a movie like that and they just couldn't pull it off, so they did this instead.
Because I would at least had fun watching, like if they were in Leviathan's hell, going around the labyrinth.
Yeah,
they could have done some cool Cenobites. Well, and
from the title of the story that was at the base of the script, Dark Can't Breathe. It seems like that the whole thing about them being buried and stuff like that was always part of...
Did you hear the Doom monster scream there?
Yeah. What's that?
No, the monster from Doom was just screaming there when Adam grabbed her hand. That roar! The one that shoots fireballs?
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be Jake.
That ain't it again? Still screaming.
I think it's supposed to be Jake's ghost or something.
She said it was Adam.
Right, Adam, I'm sorry. Yeah, the guy who got burned.
Yeah.
Do y'all think this series kind of took like a Nightmare on Elm Street turn?
Yeah.
Still like...
Yeah, definitely.
Freddy movies.
Yeah, and I think that's on purpose, because it seems like they wanted so much to have their own Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th. Never-ending series.
They didn't want to get into these like interesting storylines that really Part 4 tried to tell something different. If you read the Peter Atkins script for that, it's really good.
And they figured out a way to kill Pinhead without actually doing it any time. Where they could still keep going if they wanted to.
I have a comment on this scene, which is they're looking at the picture. And even if you, of course, they found this picture inside the house, they're just buried inside coffins, so they obviously couldn't ransack the house for clues. But the thing is, this picture is the same picture that Lance Henriksen is going to be looking at the end of the movie.
Which makes it even more weird how
even if the host is telling them, like, hey, you're imagining holding a picture with me and Adam, it's like, how would they visualize the exact same picture that exists in real life?
Hey, that was Gary Tunnicliffe doing the stunt for that.
Oh, flipping off of the...
Because he's a stunt. He's done stunts before.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. Cool. One of the things that happened with Chelsea, the character, or Catherine Winnick, the actress, is that she kept losing her voice because of the cold when she was doing scenes outside.
Oh, wow.
Because when they cast the movie and they did the wardrobe, it was still like fall in Romania, so obviously they started recording it in September or October. Mm. Then the weather started getting really cold, so she's running outside that little red top, and she must have been freezing.
So that's why her voice at the beginning feels like they had to do it's not dubbed over, but maybe they had to go back and do her voice over because it's beginning scenes that you can tell. Yeah,
and her stunt double got pneumonia.
Oh wow. So it must be really cold and damp then.
I couldn't hear that. You guys talked over each other. Everything worked out just like you said it would. What were you saying?
God, what were you saying, Ron?
Oh, I just said it must be really cold and damp then.
Yeah. The rest of them might respond to it. Well, Paul Kane in his book says, you know, their breath comes out in little clouds. That's not digital effect. That's real.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. He found him on the internet. In, you know, the Hell World chat room, because there was only one, you know, on the internet. It's a small place. Yeah, when he says, the things people will say to a prospective lover, I kept thinking, like, he's pretending to be a girl, trapping Jake. And, yeah. That's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, why does he blame them so much, right?
Yeah.
I guess for the same reason Jake blamed his friends.
Yeah.
But now he's doing a complete 180 degree.
Yeah.
Although he does have a point.
They just don't want to deal with their own guilt, so they deflect it onto somebody else.
Yeah. You still think you have a fighting chance, don't you, Jake?
That's, yeah.
Even though we'll say that would suck to be in a coffin. Like, you ever seen the movie The Vanishing?
No,
I haven't.
It's a, well, I can't tell you. I wouldn't ruin the movie. But this would suck to be in a coffin. Like that.
Yeah.
If you're claustrophobic.
Can't say I've ever been in a coffin, but...
No.
It's kind of weird now that she's figured it out, and it's been long enough that their drugs are wearing off. Mm-hmm. Why is she, you know, why is she seeing him kicking her into the coffin and shoveling dirt onto her?
Good point. She is. She was, like, banging on her coffin lid just now.
Yeah.
It's just kind of floating in and out of the illusion, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm making excuses for the movie. Yeah. He's a really creepy character, though. I'll give him that. Lance Henriksen can act. He's definitely a good actor.
He can play a good guy, and he can play a really, you know, shitbag.
Yeah.
Because I liked him in his, you know, the father in Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
And then he plays Bishop in Alien 2, and he's a pretty sympathetic character for the most part.
Yeah.
And I liked him as Wayland in AVP.
Yeah, he's a little more of a sleaze character there because.
So, do you guys think in Alien 3 his character was an android or not?
That's a big debate among fans that will always continue to go on. I personally think he was human.
Yeah, but the way his ear sort of flopped down when he got hit by that pipe makes it look like he was an android. I don't know.
I
would like to believe that he was the actual Wayland.
Yeah.
In the extended cut, they have him say a line where he's like, I'm not a droid.
Yeah.
So this is the part where we're going to explain the movie to you.
Yeah, thanks. Because I know you were probably all asleep, so...
Yeah. We're going to re-show the movie to you, too.
Yeah. I do dislike that when they show... I mean, Hellbound is a little guilty of doing that with the previous movie, but at least it's like they're not showing you scenes you've seen like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I feel like if you have to go back and recap the whole movie, then you probably lost your audience.
The story is not good.
Yeah.
So here he said, so he buries them and then he goes back to enjoy himself at the party. Mm-hmm. But when the police come, they say that he's been gone for like 2 days.
Oh.
But Jake woke up. Like
he did that, went back to the party, and then the party ended, and then the next day the cops came.
Yeah.
Could be that. I mean, he could be living in that house for like a few days. a person wouldn't die too quickly. I guess they would die of exposure, I guess, but...
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're stuck in a coffin but you have air, you can probably last a couple of days in there.
Yeah. And the idea that he got... Henry Cavill's character got killed by fear. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fear because some guy's telling him into a cell phone, yeah, a hook just went in, just flew across the room and stabbed you in the back, and now it's carrying you across the ceiling.
Yeah, I know people can have bad trips, but I don't imagine you have to be a really bad trip if it's going to kill you out of fear.
Yeah, maybe yeah. I don't think
have a heart condition or something.
Yeah. Yeah, this is kind of a cheat here too. That she thinks he's right there still talking to her, but it's really the police smashing open the coffin to rescue her. But he's been gone for 2 days.
Oh yeah, you mean when they found them? Okay, got it.
Yeah. So they combined those two things, right? She thinks that he's hacking open the coffin, you know, and then he was right there talking to her, even though that was like 2 days ago.
I got it. Doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Someone who hasn't gone to the bathroom or had a bite to eat or a sip to drink for 2 days.
She's not even dirty.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh, this guy died.
Yeah, they put these goofy contacts on them. I mean, I don't think that that's really what happens to people when they die. They don't get cataracts. Yeah. And he was blinking.
I don't have a lot of experience with dead corpses.
Yeah, thanks, Blu-ray. Well, she doesn't have the cataracts.
Yeah. Just the two guys.
Yeah, catch. Yeah.
The two guys had them.
And the other guy's still alive.
Yeah.
And even though they couldn't stand each other, they've gone through this together, and it's been a growing experience for them, so now they're teammates.
Yeah.
Fall in love, get married, and have 20 kids.
Go to Chicago in Romania.
And then Catherine Winnick is going to discover that she's a great-great-great-granddaughter of Candyman.
Oh, no, God.
Oh, yeah,
oh. And she'll grow up in, like, 2 years.
It's like, all right, I hooked up at the party after all.
Come to the party. Come to the party.
I think that would probably give this a 0.5 out of 10.
God.
Yeah, I've seen worse movies.
This is worse than Transmutations.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Let's keep an eye out for Gary Tunnicliffe holding a pad. The reporter for what was the newspaper? I forgot. Doesn't matter.
But that was a newspaper in London, and they're supposed to be in New York.
Yeah. Well, what is he doing covering Leviathan House?
Yeah.
Suspected murder thing. Also, the cops just found them. So. Oh, they traced the signal to their phones.
And so she's looking up at the house like. There's somebody standing there. So I think they're implying that Adam the ghost called the police.
Yes. That's what I got out of that too. Their buddy was watching out for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're back.
Why didn't he stop his dad from killing everybody?
A long time ago. If he could have done that. Maybe he wanted some of those other people to die.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're cool and everything, but... Not...
Oh, there's Gary Tunnicliffe back there in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, wow.
With the jacket, the black, white, and red jacket.
Yep.
I think this is, like, the worst scene. I have seen this of it. I remember this because it's, like, probably...
Yeah, and this sort of makes a mockery of the whole premise that they set up for the entire rest of the movie.
Yeah, this part wasn't even part of the official shoot. They were just shooting Lance Henriksen hanging out at the hotel room. Oh. It's just Lance Henriksen being Lance Henriksen.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So he's still feeling guilty about it. It's like, oh, my son, they killed you.
His son looks like Randy Rhoads.
Oh, the guitarist?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
What band is he from? I'm sorry.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy. Oh, okay, got it.
Plane crash.
And he doesn't believe in Hellraiser. He thinks it's just a toy. That's why he's just going to open up that box.
Well, yeah, but this isn't the one that stabs me in the thumb, right? This is the other one. I hope I didn't mix those two up. I don't want to get stabbed in the thumb.
Also brings up the question of was the stuff that he had in the Leviathan house all fake? Was it real? If so, whose collection was it? And how did he get the actual box?
Or maybe it was somebody else's house and collection and he paid them to do that? Welcome to the hotel room.
I will give him that. Like, Lance Henriksen has the most realistic reaction anybody would have to the Cenobites.
Yeah.
Actually, somebody did open a box with their hands. I've totally forgot about that. Doesn't exist. Your son was quite the prodigy.
He opened the gateway to hell. So I never realized this before last night, that the two Cenobites each have one of those chains with a sickle on it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just one of them cuts twice, but
I thought that was a really cool instrument that they created for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, it wouldn't cut so neatly that he would just still be standing there. It would. I mean, he would get knocked down.
Oh yeah, and also if you look the way they cut his body, his arms would fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God, that's such a terrible, terrible line.
Yeah.
And then the special effects, they're just...
Yeah, it's total CGI horrible.
I'm sorry. You know, I know they try their best for the special effects, and I don't blame, the technical crew. It's just really, the writing was not up to par. It's...
And what's with this horrible country song?
Well, don't get me started on Nightbreed. You know, I mean, Nightbreed ends with, a country song in the credits.
Yeah. Well, we're not in the credits yet.
God dang, I know.
They couldn't resist putting that last scare.
I know.
You know, in this.
Yeah, this makes no sense. I mean, if the other ending with Lance Henriksen was bad, this one is even just what?
I give this 0 out of 10.
Yeah. It's the ghost of the guy who buried us alive.
For that, this movie's bad.
It's just completely gratuitous, has no place in the ending.
And now the country music just morphed into this, we're still standing tall, even though they're not standing. They're sitting down in a car. Mm-hmm. Look who's standing tall.
Wow, the host sure had a lot of blood.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't like that at the time that it happened.
Yeah, he just fell down. But maybe the Cenobites went to play out.
He should have looked like a Cenobite, too. Not really, I guess. They didn't really give him the ultimate experience.
His body isn't even there, right? I mean, it's just the blood on the wall.
Yeah, I guess they took his body away?
Yep, they do that.
Yeah. Look who's standing tall.
I heard to watch.
Yeah.
Another quick bit of trivia is that Chelsea, who was played by Catherine Winnick, until the age of 8, she only spoke Ukrainian.
Oh.
And I guess that's when they moved, her parents moved to the U.S., and that's when she became an American.
Wow.
So there you go.
Hell world. I was going to say, it does. If you look in the credits, you will find Kevin Yeager's brother, Jeff, was the sculptor on this film, if you know Kevin Yeager.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
His brother didn't say, hey, don't get involved with the Hellraiser people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, that was Hellworld, Art of Our Kickstarter, Fundraiser 3, Hell on Earth.
It's like a bad horror movie, isn't it?
Yeah. This This was made possible by all our Kickstarter backers, and also Jordy Callender and Don Bertram's Celebrate Imagination.
Oh yeah. So thanks.
Please, you know, go check out those websites and tell them we sent you.
A lot of Romanian names in the credits.
What do we have next up? Is it the plague, or do we go to Revelation?
The plague. Yeah, we need a Hellraiser break, so...
Although, Jeff Yeager's name.
Hey, did you see Steve Boogie Time on there?
I saw it. Sometimes the credits have, like, these, especially stunts or effects people, they usually have this funny, quirky name in the quotes. I love that. There was an actor who only had one name. Like, you remember that actor from the Conan the Barbarian movie, Mako?
Oh, yeah, right.
I think his name is just... Stuff. Yeah, his name is just Mako.
He was also Splinter in one of the Ninja Turtles movies.
Oh, okay. So, compositor, 3D artist, Chad Goey, additional 3D modeling, Steve Lawrence... re-recording at Monkeyland Studio in Glendale. So that was it. Yep, voice casting from LA Mad Dogs.
Yeah.
And all right, guys, so this doesn't conclude our Hellraiser series of commentaries because we still have Revelations to do, right?
And possibly Judgment, depending on how soon they get that done.
Yeah, I think that's coming
out. I think that's going to be 2017.
Is it? Yeah, they'll probably do their mandatory one screening in 2016. Yeah.
All interest in that one after yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
In that news.
Yeah, well, it seems to me that was, that non-disclosure agreement was sort of handwritten just for him. And like he said, it wasn't, probably wasn't made by an attorney. It was just, you know, made by
somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the producers wish to thank the City Hall of Bucharest and the city and people of Bucharest, Romania.
And special thanks to Clive Barker.
Yeah. All right. That's it. That's a wrap again for Hellraiser Hell World. Thanks for joining us. I hope you have a nice time and hope you... weren't too bored by our commentary.
Yeah, and go watch a good movie now.
Yeah, please.
Go see Hellraiser, the first one.
Or go see Lord of Illusions or Nightbreed, the director's cut.
Yeah,
because that is out there.
And we'll be doing commentaries on good movies here pretty soon after we get done with The Plague and Revelations.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that.
The Clive Barker Podcast, or BarkerCast, is an independent editorial fan site and podcast that is not affiliated with or under contract by Clive Barker or Seraphim Films. This podcast and site are a labor of love by the fans for the fans. News, features, and show notes for this episode can be found at www.clivebarkercast.com. Go to iTunes and please leave us a review. Reviews really help us get the word out about Clive Barker. You can also find us on Podomatic, Xbox Music Store, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, DoubleTwist, BlackBerry, and Pocket Cast. We have a Facebook page, so come on and like our Facebook page and join the Occupy Media group for lots of discussion about Nightbreed and other Clive Barker stuff. On Twitter, we're at BarkerCast and at Occupy Midian. Opening theme by Mark Buckle.